But today is International Women's Day. And Maura Jarvis joins us now. She's a PwC Associate Director in People and Organizations. So we'll chat to her in a moment because they've had a look at equal pay in the work environment. And also they've surveyed young women to find out about their career goals, their career paths, and how those are being actively pursued and nurtured within the workplace. But when we talk, when we think about equal pay, Iceland is one country that's made headlines in 2018. At the start of the year, new legislation came into force in Iceland. A new law made it illegal to pay men more than women. It's always been there. The legislation that you need to pay women the same as men. But this new law makes it illegal that there will be criminal actions taken against you if you fail to pay women and men the same in the workplace. So companies and government agencies employing at least 25 people will have to obtain government certification for their equal pay policies and provide evidence to prove that they're paying their employees the same across the various gender divides. This is incredibly progressive. I think whenever we've talked about this, often we talk about it in the sporting arena. We hear the figure all the time about women being paid 33% less than men on average in the workplace. And those were American figures, by the way. So there are likely to be differences if you take a look at different territories. So there's a lot to explore. And we'll take your questions and comments on 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs. Are you sick and tired of being paid less than your male colleagues? There's a wonderful ad on ENCA. In fact, it's voiced by a woman walking through the street, buying a coffee and so on. And she makes the point that she also uses the same transport. She buys the same coffee at the same amount. So at the end, the punchline really is, why on earth is she getting paid less than her male counterparts? Maura, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
You know, today is very important. We have our own Women's Day, of course, on the 8th of August, which comes up later in the year. But International Women's Day is also another opportunity for us to address issues that pertain to women. And in our conversation, of course, we're putting the spotlight on women in the workplace. So you've taken a look and you've spoken to a number of young women about their career goals and how these are being nurtured through the workplace. What were your findings?
So I think, interestingly, it was a global survey that we ran, and it focused on over 3,000 females in 61 countries on six continents and across 27 different industries. Mm-hmm. And what we had a look at was to try and ascertain how these young professionals are feeling in terms of their career and their aspirations and their level of positivity in terms of their careers in the working environment.
Right.
I think what was very positive was that it really was these young professional and young women are feeling very positive about their futures. Mm-hmm. They are, 63% of them feel that they are aiming for top-level positions in terms of their career. And they really feeling positive in terms of what the world holds for them in terms of their own abilities and their own capabilities.
Wow. So it sounds like one of the top takeouts out of it is that things have changed for women at work, especially in how we feel about the work that we do and our roles in the workplace.
Yes, I think there has been progress in terms of, I think, women's disposition mm-hmm. to their futures. And I think we're seeing a new level of determination to succeed professionally, but still remaining true to their priorities.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in that aspect, it has been positive. But I think in other spheres, we have seen some regression, which is disappointing.
Right. So which areas have we seen regression in?
So if we start to have a look at some of the things that seem to be moving in the wrong direction, is that a lot of females are feeling that gender is a barrier to their career in terms of the effect that a family may have on their careers and making that choice to have a family. And then the other thing that we've seen is that a widening actually of the pay gap.
Mm-hmm. Wow, a widening.
a widening of the pay gap rather than moving, you know, in a positive direction.
Sure. That is shocking, because I would have thought that we are starting to make strides like that, like those seen in Iceland.
Well, what we're seeing is Iceland has made huge progress, but if we look globally, the gender gap is actually widening. So if so it's not just an issue in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And that I think there was quite the first gender gap report was published in 2006, and I think we saw very nice progress. But for the first time in 2017, we are seeing that it is actually starting to move in the other direction. So a lot of progress was made, but at the moment, it's not moving in the right direction.
Yeah. And what leads to that? What causes that? What is that a result of? Let me share a quick WhatsApp. It says, women get paid less because they are simply not risk takers. I know men in my circle move jobs all the time to increase their salary. They don't move for 10 years, saying that women don't move for 10 years and expect to get a salary rise. I mean, that, and this also speaks to some of the issues that led to the meltdown in 2008, the economic meltdown that we saw, and a lot of studies that looked at when you have a less representative workplace, what tends to happen, and the kind of aggression that people are encouraged to exhibit in the workplace, that is then rewarded, the risk taking and aggression that was rewarded led us to an economic meltdown.
Mm-hmm. So I think what you're finding is that females may move jobs less frequently, and that can also tie into the type of environment that they're working with and the flexibility that they need in order to balance all the demands that they have in their life. Mm-hmm. So I think what we are seeing is that females are not experiencing that in all organizations. So if you find an organization that is progressive in that way, I think females may be willing to sacrifice a level of remuneration because they are worried that they're not going to have that same level of flexibility and career openness in a new environment.
So how much of that has to do with the commitment of the corporate sector? Because it would have to come as a commitment and an undertaking to some degree, of course, with government, but a lot of it still resides with the organizations themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, it comes down to an organizational culture. So if we look from a legislative point of view, in South Africa, we have legislation, equal pay for work of equal value, which indicates that you need to pay people doing the same or similar job, not absolutely the same amount of money, because we need to take into account years of experience, performance, but within a range of each other. So we have legislation that governs that. Mm-hmm. From a labor law point of view. But I think what happens within the organization that creates that flexibility is really around culture. And that's the culture that the organization either embraces and drives very hard in terms of providing that for their female employees or not.
I mean, when we think of the impact of millennials, for instance, and this Generation Z that's also coming up, I would have thought as well that we'll start to see a change in attitude, a change in culture about why we are in business and how we do business. And in the how, we address the needs of the human beings involved in business.
So I think what we're seeing in your, just relating back to not just millennials, but I think females are becoming a lot more assertive in terms of having those discussions around pay rises and being a lot more dominant in terms of getting what they believe they are worth in terms of the organization and not sitting back. Whereas I think to your previous point that our male colleagues may have felt more comfortable to go and have those discussions. I think we're seeing a nice new level of assertiveness, proactivity from females in terms of demanding that they are treated equally and are fairly remunerated.
Let's go to Dumi calling from Malbarton. Hi, Dumi.
Hi, Aza.
Yes.
I just wanted to ask, you know, sometimes it's not just females getting paid less than their male counterparts. sometimes race comes into play, where black females will earn less than their white or even Indian counterparts.
Right.
So have, you know, they looked at those disparities, and is there anything being done to possibly address that, especially within the private sector or the
Absolutely.
Corporate sector?
Right. Jimmy, thank you so much for your question. Moira?
Yes, I think if we actually look at statistics from Stats SA in terms of the point being raised, that's 100% accurate. If we have a look at, for example, a black African female is earning 2,500 rand and the male, her male colleague is earning 3,250 rand.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see there that in terms of those stats, from Stats SA, they're saying that females are earning 23% less than men. And if we look at across all the different race groups in South Africa, there's actually a difference on gender, and obviously there's a difference even on the different racial groups. In terms of what is being done, if that is A, where your legislation comes in, and the equal pay for work of equal value comes in under our employment equity legislation, which is obviously to prevent discrimination, and that's discrimination on any grounds.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be race, it can be gender, it can be sexual orientation, it can be disability. So the organizations should be in line with that, otherwise obviously they're falling foul of the requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think also what corporates are doing is that they should be conducting a pay audit and some pay analysis in terms of how they are structuring their remuneration to ensure that these kind of practices are not allowed to happen. And I think a lot of the instances that we come across in our consulting is that often these circumstances sort of happen. They're historic. And unless you go in and do a good analysis of what your current reality is, I think often organizations are unaware of how large this problem is and just make the assumption that there is no difference between genders performing the same job.
Yes, or that people are being difficult, or that they are not being true to the true conditions in the workplace. And yet if they drill deeper, they'll find truth in that.
Absolutely, and that's where your processes and your systems from an HR point of view really need to be in place. So if you spoke about Iceland. So Iceland, as you correctly said, it's illegal now to not pay people the same and from a gender perspective. But they have implemented an equal pay standard, and that equal pay standard calculates each job, and then it would calculate a score for that job.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would apply remuneration to that job. So if I have the same score as you in Iceland, then we should be earning the same amount of money. Now, in South Africa, we don't have an equal pay standard that calculates it like that from a legal perspective.
Right.
But what we do have is we have a job evaluation process and salary benchmarking. And if one puts those practices into place, you can be quite confident as an organization that you can identify where these discriminatory practices are happening, and you'd be able to put together a plan of how you can eradicate that from your organization.
Are we seeing collectivism, just women coming together?
Absolutely. And I think that talks, particularly in the latest research that we've done, is that I think you are starting to see women standing together. And I think within that, it gives confidence to other women to stand up, have those tough conversations, and to really assert themselves in terms of their rights.
Mm. And one of the things that came out of the study is that women traditionally are not self-promoters. So although they speak up, they get results. When they do speak up, they get results. But naturally or traditionally, which is the choice of word, traditionally, they're not self-promoters, which, of course, does not work in our favor. So when it comes to negotiations, how do we fare?
So absolutely on the button there. I think that, you know, females have been less assertive and less likely to have those conversations. I think there's quite a lot that we could do internally in the corporate world, and that is in terms of providing strategic support to women in business to make sure that they've got people that are mentoring them and providing good examples. And those can be both male and female. It doesn't mean that in order to provide that strategic support to females to stand up and to stand together, that strategic support has to come from another woman.
Mm.
It can come from anybody who's in the organization who's someone of influence.
Mm.
Mm. I think that's something people often go into a narrow band of women need to support women, whereas in fact the female in the organizational needs role models of both genders.
Absolutely.
Because we learn from those different genders and different mentors teach us different things. So I think that network of advocates is what we're looking for, so that the woman has the ability to share her experiences, to seek advice, and create that supportive network around her.
Mm. Let's go to Tulani calling from Centurion. Hi, Tulani.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. I think the problem that we have as a country is broader than just saying women are not paid as equal to their men.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that we do have in the workplace women that are highly paid than men. I think what we have as a problem as a country is that we have an unequal society which now translates to the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So black, white, we know that most of our white counterparts, white men and women are paid higher than the black female and men.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the core issue to be resolved so that we can get the right equality and make sure that women are actually paid or compensated than their counterparts, to first solve the issue around equal pay.
Mm-hmm.
As a whole, black, white, color, people doing the same job in the workplace being paid equal.
Right.
Then
and Tulani, yeah, so then based, of course, and on what Maura had said about things like benchmarking and, of course, the role, the position itself and what you come with, the years of experience. But that then takes us into a conversation about transparency, having enough transparency so that we don't have these kind of issues arising. So we know how you came to 50,000 for you, Moira, and 20,000 for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a huge need for greater transparency. And in fact, if we look at King 4, which governs corporate which is corporate governance, in King 4 in listed organizations, there is now a call and a requirement for a lot more transparency on how remuneration is worked out. And that's looking at it from an executive level right down to the lower end of the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking at providing explanations on your remuneration strategies, practices, and policy, and providing those to your shareholders. And in King 4, your shareholders now are going to have a right to vote on the remuneration policy. So I think corporates are being held in check, let's say, on two sides, one by the governance environment and the basis of ethical pay, and then on the other side by the employees who,
yes,
who obviously create the pressure in terms of I'm doing a job that's the same as my colleague and I'm not earning the same amount.
Maura, it's been lovely talking to you on International Women's Day. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Thanks for the time.
Maura Jarvis, she's a PwC Associate Director in People and Organizations.